Amen. Amen. The scripture this morning is coming from the scripture previously read. I felt it necessary to be redundant in preaching or reading this word because to me it is just that important. The first time I read from the King James, but this time I'm reading from the ESV. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. It says, "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for, which is for your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Lord, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Today's message is Knowing God, Part 4, The Power of God. The Power of God. The story is told of a woman who lived in the rural South without power. One day, someone from the power company came to hear her and came to her home and informed her that they would be running a power line of electricity to her home. And that they did. But after a few months, the power company noticed that very little, if any, electricity was being used at her home. So they send an agent out to her home to see if everything's all right. And the agent arrives to her home and says, "We've noticed that very little, if any, electricity is being used by you. Is everything all right?" She said, "Oh, yes, it is. And I'm so glad that I now have electricity. It has been a blessing to me. Every night, just before dark, I turn on the lights you gave me. And after I light my kerosene lamps, I turn them off. It has been so helpful to me. Thank you so very, very much." You know, many Christians are like this woman when it comes to understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. We sing songs, we preach sermons, we read books about the Spirit, we teach, preach, and attend classes about the power of the Holy Spirit. We know about the Holy Spirit, and we know he's there with us in our lives. Yet there remains, my sister and my brother, a disconnect to our understanding of how the Spirit's power is given to us to impact our lives for the better. Are you listening this morning? The woman had more power and potential than she ever had in her life. She had every reason to improve her life than she ever realized. But because she did not know the benefits of electricity, her life virtually remained the same. And so it is with many of us, my brothers and sisters, because we don't understand the benefit and the potential of the Spirit's power. And because of this, many remained unchanged and ignorant to the promised potential of spiritual power that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us and accomplish in and through us, all for the glory of God. The Spirit of God-given power is given to us, and it should be recognized as a gift of God's grace. And if recognized and used, will empower us to do and accomplish things far above our normal capacity. God gives each of us the power of His Holy Spirit. And once we are saved, that Spirit comes into our lives to transform our lives far beyond our personalities, far beyond our prior abilities, and far beyond the capacities that once limited our lives, and for us to become someone far better than we were before we were saved. The Holy Spirit is given by God for us to become persons with greater potential, higher desires, and to possess outstanding abilities to do and become more than we ever thought possible, all for the benefit of ourselves, but ultimately for the glory of God. Praise His holy name. Yet so many believers are entirely powerless. Like the woman, they don't have a clue. Why? Because of the disconnect that's between knowing God and experiencing God. Many have knowledge of God, but the problem occurs when the knowledge of God does not translate or lead us to growing our relationship with God. In other words, we know about God, but we don't know God intimately as God desires for us to know Him. For only in an intimate relationship with God, only in the closeness and the intimacy that we share in relationship with God, therein lies the power that God gives to His children. And then it leaps off the pages of the Bible, and those words become life. They become real. And our experience with God is not anything that we need to hear a preacher tell us about, but something that we know for ourselves, because the knowledge of God has leaped from the bosom of the Bible into the bosom of our hearts, and we can know that there is a God who loves me, who keeps me, who provides for me, who saved me and saves me. We know about the power of the Holy Spirit. We have allowed for the Spirit's presence to work His perfect work if only we trust Him. Have we yielded ourselves to the wisdom and influence of the Spirit to transform us into our better selves? Is there a time and a moment in our lives when you continue to say, after falling, after mistake, finally get to the point, says, God, I need to do better? Only when you begin to know God as God wants to be known and experience God as He wants to be experienced will you discover a spiritual power that will equip us, all of us, with the wisdom and the ability that opens us up to the free-flowing power of God in our lives. Only when your resistance to the newness of life that God gives to you eliminates itself from blocking you and hindering you from experiencing the fullness of God, and the Spirit of God begins to flood into your souls, will you begin to experience the freshness and the newness of God's glorious power resonating in your hearts. And you spend the majority of your life waiting on God. But as I've said prior, God is waiting on you. The Bible clearly tells us that if you draw near to him, he will what? Draw near to you. God is the kind of God who respects your choices and respects your wishes and respects your desire. And he'll only come as close to you, as dear to you, as intimate to you as you will allow. The more of God you desire, the more of God he will reveal. And without an awareness of an acceptance of the power that God desires to give, we will continue to grope through life without spiritual power and without any real purpose. I know you don't want that, but neither does God want that for you. So we find in our text in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says to his church, "So I ask you not to lose heart." To lose heart is to lose hope. To lose heart is to become discouraged beyond your ability to encourage yourself. To lose heart is to be overwhelmed to the point of despair. To lose heart is to become so despondent that you just want to quit. You're not only tired, you're tied. You're so despondent and that you, when you lose heart, is to have an "I don't want to do this anymore" mentality. The Lord knows that there's a lot of things in this life that can bring us to this point. This is why God gives us his power. God does not want us to lose heart. God wants to dwell in our hearts. Life is hard. We all know what Job said, that we're only here for a few days, and those days are filled with trouble. But Paul tells the church at Ephesus, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on yourself. And by all means, don't give up on God. I know in this day and times where things are rapidly changing, just a few years ago, the world doesn't look like it used to look. Just a few years ago, things were radically and drastically different than they are now. And many have become despondent and have succumbed to the culture, the attitude of the culture that says, "I'm tired. I don't have to do this anymore. I can do like I want to do because nobody really cares." Paul says, don't give up on life. Don't give up on yourself. By all means, don't give up on God. I know that you're tired and confused. I know that you're worn out and dismayed by what's going on around you. But Paul says, and I give the same advice, don't lose. For if you lose heart, there is nothing within you that God has to deal with. If you lose heart, you have no heart in which the Spirit of God can dwell. Paul understood why they had become so discouraged. For there was a time in Paul's own life that he despaired beyond ability. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul writes, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers." And I might add, sisters, don't be ignorant of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired for life itself. Paul understood their situation. He understood why they have become so close to losing heart. For here it says that he was burdened beyond strength, and he despaired for life itself. Do you know what it means to despair for life? Paul was perhaps suicidal. The pressures on his life were so great. The anticipation for doing and fulfilling the work of God became so disappointing when he invested his entire self into doing God's work and see the little returned for his effort. And he began to wonder within himself, is it really worth it? And I know somebody out there is wondering if this Christian thing is really worth it. I know that there's somebody out there that looks back how things once were and how happy you were, but now you're in a season where nothing is accomplished and nothing is gained. And you're wondering if it's all worth it. To despair, my sisters and brothers, is a time in which we don't know which way to go. We're lost, without direction, without a sense of future, without knowing what God is going to do in the future. To despair of life is to get to the point where we just don't have the physical, emotional, or spiritual strength to go on. You're tired. You're depressed. And cynically disenchanted with everything you're trying to do. And if you did have strength, you're so emotionally drained that you feel that it just ain't worth it. But I want you to notice what Paul finally realized. He says, and we can only come to this realization if we truly and intimately know God. In verse 9, he says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Did you hear that? God allowed it to happen. God may have even orchestrated himself. God hid himself from their presence. God did not answer their prayer. And they felt, with all of their efforts, this is all that I have to answer for it. But then he realized that God did this so that they would no longer rely on themselves, but on the God who raises the dead. God promised to be with you. How long? Always. And even in the hidden moments of time, when God hides himself from us, even in those times when we feel that we are getting weak and have no strength to give, God is strengthening us. Even when God hides himself, God is present. Even when God is not speaking to us, God is speaking. Even when we don't know which way to go, God is leading. And as faithful as Paul was, and as much as Paul depended upon God, God wanted Paul's total commitment and trust. When things were popping, and when blessings were flowing, and when his preaching was bringing about the results of a proficient and inspired and anointed man of God, Paul was all right with God. But God says, I need to take you to the graduate school of faith and religion. And in my school, I teach my real servants in a school of hard knocks. As a matter of fact, you've heard me say before something that I heard Chuck Swindoll say many years ago, whom God would use greatly, he wounds deeply. And oftentimes, my sisters and brothers, when you go through those experiences, God remains faithful. And what he's doing is maturing. He's making you stronger for the future he has prepared for you. So could it be, my sisters and brothers, that you're tired and exhausted and discouraged and emotionally drained to the point of giving up because you are relying more on yourself than on the power of God? You're losing your grip on life. Everything seems to be slipping away from you. At the stage, and at this stage, rather, of life, you just don't feel like it anymore. But before this is, but maybe rather, this is happening to get you to realize, as Paul did, that God is allowing this so that you might rely less on yourself and more on God. The God who raised Jesus from the dead. And if God's power could raise Jesus from the dead, surely God's power is strong enough to handle your little old problem. Say amen, somebody. God's power is strong enough, if he could raise Jesus from the dead, to do great things in our lives beyond our imagination and beyond our abilities. Paul discovered this truth in his time of despair, and so can you when you open your heart and don't lose heart and open it up to the real and lasting relationship of God. Yes, that's right. Open your heart. Yes, that's right. Make room in your heart for God. That's right. Continue to seek the face of God and continue to trust in God when nothing is seen and nothing is happening. Keep your heart open to the possibilities that are beyond your understanding of what God can do. What Paul is saying is that the answer to your problem is not in finding what you can do, but the answer to your problem is knowing what God can do. It is knowing and trusting, and here it is, humbling yourself before God until you receive the power of God. For only when we go down does God pick us up. Only when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God does God elevate us to positions higher than we ever imagined, with strength and power and prowess beyond our natural capacities or abilities. Praise his holy name. Now, having said all that, I know that that's not what we are used to doing. Believe me, I know. I've been at this thing a long time. Some of you have been at it longer than I have. But I know how we try to take matters into our own hands when things become difficult. But it's what God wants us to do. To let it go. To cast our cares upon Him. To humble ourselves in His presence. God wants us to know that His power is available to us. And that we have access as God's children to the power of God when we humble ourselves before His presence. When we don't lose heart and in the face, the challenges and the bad news of difficulties, we yet believe God. God gives that kind of power to those who make room in their hearts for the Spirit of Christ to dwell. When the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, comes to live within us after we are saved, we have the same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's available to us. But we won't know this if we have not allowed for the Spirit of Christ to do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. As long as we have the power to fix our situations, or as long as we can run to somebody who can do for us what we need done, God will never avail His power to us. But when we get so low, where we lose hope and lose strength and lose faith and lose heart, and yet we trust God, God's power flows into our lives so that you will know and that you might testify to others what a mighty God we serve. So in verse 14, Paul says, for this reason, I bow before the Father. You see that? For this reason, I don't try to make a name for myself. I don't try to fix everything that is beyond my capacity to fix. I don't try to do that which God can only do. And when I get to that point in life where I find myself exhausted of all the efforts that I can possibly give, I humble myself. I said, God, I'm not comfortable here. I'm a little bit antsy now, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So because I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I humble myself. He humbled himself before God. He gave God his problems. He stopped trying to figure it out and work it out, and simply said, God, all these problems no longer belong to me. You saved me by your grace. You owned me and redeemed me. You bought me. You paid the price for me. So God, all of this is in your hands. I'm going to sleep. I'm stop worrying. I'm trusting in you. Don't know the tomorrow may bring, but I know, God, you have my future. If you feed birds, I know you take care of me. If you take care of lilies, I know you take care of me. God, here I am, just as I am. And when you give your problems over to God, God takes your problems and in place gives you his blessings. Take my yoke, Jesus says, upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And then in verse 16, he prays, Paul does, that his church might experience the same thing he did in his time of despair. Listen to what he says in verse 3, chapter 3, rather, verse 16. He prayed that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with his power through his spirit in the inner being. Do you see that? Paul, in his time of despondency and despair, received the riches of God's glory, and he knew what God can and will do in moments like them. Now, God, Paul, rather, is sharing with his church what he learned by being down in despair. He got to know God better than he had prior to that moment, because God wants us to know as much as we can about him, and in our knowing then flows the power. He received the riches of his glory, which was God strengthening him with God's power in his spirit. And somebody listening to me, I believe with all my heart that God wants to do the same thing for you. God wants to strengthen you with the power of his spirit in your inner being. Not in your mind that is influenced by the thoughts and opinions of others. Not in your body of flesh that resists everything about God and is ultimately in your control. Not in the area of your life, any area of your life that you can control. But God wants to strengthen you in an area that will forever change your life: in our hearts. For out of the heart flows the issues of life. The heart is the real essence of who we are. If you ever get anything into your heart, it's there forever. The heart is that part of our being and our essence that is the real deal you. And once something gets into your heart, that becomes who you are. The verse 17 says, so that Christ might dwell richly in you. Yes, when Christ dwells richly in you, that means that Christ makes himself at home in your heart. That means that Christ is with you in every situation, in every station of life. That means that Christ relaxes with you, that Christ hangs out with you, that Christ enjoys being with you. I dare you to let Christ into your heart and let him have his way. Paul is telling his church to let Christ become a significant part of our lives. Don't just know religion. Know Jesus. Know him intimately. Know him so much that every moment of your life, his presence is with you and you are aware of it. Know him in every situation that Christ is with you, because he walks with you and talks with you. He guides you, he leads you, he supports you, and he helps you, and he will always be there by his spirit. Let Christ become a significant part of his life. Of our lives. Share life together with Christ. Give Christ full access to every area of your life so that the power of God might flow richly in our lives. And when we allow for Christ's spirit to dwell freely in our hearts, then, somebody say then we will begin to experience the full and lasting power of his spirit that will lead us, that will guide us, that will speak to us and strengthen us and empower us motivate, or he will motivate us and endow us with wisdom, strength, and power. The power of the Almighty God, who is wise and loving. Praise his holy name. You see, Christ already knows everything there is to know about us. All Christ is waiting for is for us to trust him enough, to love him enough, and to let him into those areas of our lives that we keep to ourselves. You know what I'm talking about. Those areas of our lives that we don't want Christ to deal with. We're happy and we're content with. We come to church and believe that we are saved and feel that's enough. But when the time of urgency arrives in our lives, that's not going to get you through. It's only when we give Christ full access to our hearts, those areas in our mind and our heart that we still enjoy doing after we are saved, those moments and times in our lives that we don't want to lose because it's so important to us. But in order for the power of God to flow richly in your lives, Christ wants to take over. He wants full control of your life. He's waiting for us to trust him enough, to love him enough, and to keep him and to allow for him to come into those areas of our lives that we keep to ourselves, so Christ might release within us the fullness of God's power. And to not give Christ full access of your life is to limit the power that Christ wants to give. You are saved, but like the woman who did not know the benefit of the power of electricity, because we refuse to let the Spirit of God come and flow freely and richly in our lives, we limit ourselves to the power that God wants to give. So knowing God, my sisters and brothers, is also inviting God into your life to know you. Did you hear me? Knowing God is inviting God into your life to know you. It is opening your heart to Christ and allowing for him through his Spirit to search your heart. Some of y'all remember the song that we used to sing in the old church, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. Shine your light from heaven on my soul. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me, because I want to be right. I want to be saved. I got to be whole. Only when we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God will the power of God to begin to flow richly and freely in our lives. The Spirit of God will begin filling you with his strength, with his wisdom, and with his power. And you look around, and folks won't begin to recognize you anymore. You'll see that God has given you knowledge and wisdom and power, strength, peace and comfort and joy in areas of your life that once freaked you out. But when we open ourselves up to God, we are aligning ourselves to receive the fullness of God Spirit. And then when that happens, you will begin to know and understand the way of God and the ways of God. And what I mean by that is that you will begin to walk with the confidence and the assurance of God's love and knowledge in any and every situation. You will know without shadow of a doubt that you are living in accordance to the will of God. And that's when the promises of God and the power of God will begin to flow richly into your life, and you will have power. You will have the power of understanding. You will have the power of God's assurance. You will have the power of God's grace. You will have the all-encompassing power of Christ's Holy Spirit. And no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what's around you, no matter the circumstances, you can stand bold and firm in knowing that God is with you. You're not compromised, and God is with you. And you can continue to live life, the abundant life that God has promised to all of those who love him. But the best part is yet to come. In verses 18 and 19, it says that you may have power. Power for what, Paul? To comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the height, or the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Y'all not shout yet? That what he's saying here, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of knowledge, is that we will know the fullness of God as it relates to our lives. We have come to know God so well that we know that whatever happens in our lives, like the tree in Psalm number 1, planted by the rivers of waters, whose roots makes its way into the streams, that in due season it will blossom. No matter what's going on, God will plant us in his love so deeply and securely that we'll always have a smile on our face, joy in our hearts. We will always be affirmed in our walk. We'll never lose heart. We'll always be faithful and always be blessed because we're rooted and planted in the love of God. In other words, when we humble ourselves to God in complete submission to his Spirit, God roots us and God grounds us in his love, meaning that in every season of our lives, we will continue to blossom and grow, because if we are planted in the love of God, by God, praise his holy name, there is no power in heaven, no power on earth, no power in hell that can overcome us. Praise his holy name. And when we are planted in God's love, this will happen. Verse 17, that we will have power to comprehend everything that comes into our way, into our lives. We will be prepared for it. And even if we are not prepared for it, we're not blindsided, because we know who our Savior is. We know how much God loves you. We know the power that he has for us. We know that we have available to us the power of resurrection that defeats every devil that comes our way, that puts aside every lie, deters every arrow of the devil that is pointed in our direction. God will lift us up before all of our enemies, and we will steadily rise because of the power, the grace, and the love of God. But you can only know this, my sisters and brothers, when you allow for God to humble you in his presence. And when you humble yourselves before the power of God, he will fill you with his love. So this should be our quest. This should be the quest of every child of God, to understand the depth, the height, the length, the breadth of the love of Christ. For to understand the fullness of God's love is to be filled with the power of God. And my prayer is like Paul, Lord, help us that we don't lose heart. But then he closes with this. It's a doxology. A doxology of praise to who God is and what God has done and what God does do. You see, when we say this, we leap over everything that preceded it. But now that you know what preceded it, this is what Paul says. In celebration to the greatness and the glory of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But here he is, the caveat in it all. According to the power that works in us. What he's saying, and I'm closing with this, that God has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. But it's according to the power that works in us. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for our time together.